Hello, everybody, wherever you may be. Welcome to CWR Unplugged, Christianity Without the Religion Unplugged. We are a off-the-cuff podcast. Unplugged, meaning from the world of music, borrowing that as a term to define what we do. We don't have any artificial sweeteners. We don't do a lot of editing. We're just going to air this as it's been recorded. Not a lot of planning or preparation goes into it, although some notes and some idea of what we're going to say, we do have that. It's not completely just off the top of our head. We respect you far too much for that. But most of all, this is a Christ-centered, without the religion presentation. We call it CWR Unplugged. I'm Greg Albrecht. Thanks for joining us for this edition. And we're going to call this edition Grace at Starbucks. Grace at Starbucks. We were sitting in an inviting, comfortable environment of fellowship, a spiritual gathering place in a ubiquitous chain now numbering some 15,000 plus franchised locations, virtually identical, at least in the general layout, here in the United States alone. This is a place where people willingly give generous offerings, quote-unquote offerings, in exchange for a cup of coffee and a welcoming atmosphere. And there were times before the COVID restrictions when people would just hang out and sit around and find somebody to talk to. Didn't matter if they knew them or not. Armchairs, couches were provided to provide a welcoming atmosphere. And this was at such a time, long before COVID. There we were at the largest North American non-denominational worship center, the Starbucks Sanctuary, the Coffee Cathedral, sipping on our overpriced beverages. When my friend said, I'm going to begin to understand this grace thing. I hope one day this grace thing you keep preaching and writing about, but he shifted his weight. He leaned forward. He looked me in the eyes intently and he said, but I don't really understand what it means to get into grace. If I take God literally at his word, and if what you say is true about the gospel in the New Testament, if I really believe that the gospel is really all about God and that Jesus has already done what I can never do for myself, then it seems to me I have no motivation to do well in my life. Is that what you're telling me to do? If I take grace seriously, it seems I'm just going to be a mediocre goof-off of a Christian. Can you explain that to me? Well, my friend isn't the only one with questions about the implications of God's grace, and his question is important. In fact, it's one of the most important questions we can ask about the grace of God. Are those who live by and in God's grace spiritual slackers? Does grace mean we're just going to be content to sit in the grandstand watching God do all the work? Does grace mean we'll lack motivation to succeed and settle for less than our spiritual potential? Did Jesus die on the cross, paying a debt he did not owe, a debt we could not pay, so that we might live like so many spoiled spiritual brats, God's rich kids, who have no incentive to do anything? We've inherited it all. We have no work to do. Is that the implication of God's plan for our lives? Is that what the gospel means? Is that what God's grace is all about? Let's talk. I'm going to save you a trip to Starbucks. Just make yourself a cup of coffee or tea, wherever you are, listening via whatever electronic device you have, or grab a bottle or glass of water. I'm not going to encourage you to go beyond that in any kind of alcoholic beverage. You may need that after what I have to say. I'm just kidding. Pull up a chair. Let's fellowship. This is CWR Unplugged, and we're talking about grace at Starbucks. I told this friend of mine, I kept the answer as short as possible, as we'll do here today. Let me base, there are many different answers, many different ways to skin this cat, if you like, many different perspectives to take about God's grace and what it means and how it's played out in our lives, how it's produced in our lives, how we can see it, how we identify it, what happens to us when we live by grace. Many different ways, but let's just do it this way on this particular occasion, as I recall doing it with this friend of mine at Starbucks, 10 years ago? It's been quite a while. Let's base our discussion on just two places in the book of 1 Corinthians. Two well-known chapters of this book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, which many have deemed and called and identified the love chapter of the Bible, let alone 1 Corinthians, where Paul grounds our faith in the practical and visible outworking of God. Outworking means works which flow out from him. Outworking, very simple term, but maybe it's a little bit of an in-house term and you haven't heard it before, so the works go outward. They're not our works coming into him, but his works going out of him. The outworking of God, his love that he produces in our lives. And the second passage, chapter 15, again, given a title by many people over the many years, the resurrection chapter, a chapter of hope that gives us a glimpse of the eternity that God gives us. Now, first of all, let's set this up just ever so briefly, because I said we'd be brief, but that's a famous lie that preachers make, and you'll forgive me, depending upon your idea of brief, I may not meet that definition today. So if that's the case, forgive me for the lie, or misleading you at least. In the last few verses of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul reiterates that while each of us as part of the body of Christ, as children of God, as being given a new spiritual rebirth, as part of the new creation of God, and being a part of the universal body of Christ, we may not see our role in the body of Christ as exciting or rewarding as that others seem to have. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That's what Paul is addressing. Paul reminds us that whatever God calls us to, we should earnestly desire the greater gifts. So no matter what you're doing or no matter how you're living out your life, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then just before the greatest gift of all, the love that God has given us by his grace, he writes 10 critically important words to this discussion as we talk about grace at Starbucks. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Chapter 12, verse 31. That's the bridge between chapter 12 and now going into what we call the love chapter. And now I will show you the most excellent way. So what chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is the most excellent way. And he starts in the first three verses by saying this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, if I'm able to speak in all kinds of languages, known and unknown, But I have not love. I'm just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge and foretell the future and fathom the depths of teaching and knowledge, that's some of that is my paraphrase, and I have faith even that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames and become a martyr, my added verbiage there, but have not love, I gain nothing. Let's ponder what Paul said. You and I may say, though I study my Bible, though I pray without ceasing, though I volunteer to host a study and prayer group in my home, though I go out of my way to help those in need, though I give generously to God's work, though I may read and even write Christian books, though I serve and work and volunteer and do and do and do and do and give and give and give and give, if I've accomplished nothing, if love is not the foundation of my life. Paul is calling us to the most excellent way, but he insists that only excellence, the only excellence that counts, is excellence in love. He's not calling us to humdrum mediocrity. He's not calling us to sit on the couch after we've received the grace of God and think we can do nothing because we've received the grace of God. He's not teaching positive thinking, not teaching the health and wealth prosperity gospel. He's not talking about pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. The most excellent way that Paul teaches is not defined by material, corporate, social, or political success. This teaching is not the excellence of riches, of fame, or of beauty. This is a far more excellent way. It is the way of grace, and it is the way of grace wherein God lives in you through God the Holy Spirit and God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in so doing creates in us a new person so that we become, as Ephesians 2:10 says, his workmanship, his handiwork, the work of his own hands. We become what he wants us to be. We don't become by our own blood, sweat, and tears what he wants us to be. And then he loves us. He loves us first, gives us his grace. And because of that, as we are a new creation, he then builds in us what he wants us to be and produces the works in us that he wants us to be and share with others. So grace involves work, the work of God, the outworking, as we said before. Now let's combine this insight with one more message, more passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we call the resurrection chapter. At the end of this magnificent resurrection chapter, Paul explains the victorious resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us. And here he says in verses 57 through 58, again responding to, well, does grace mean we don't have to do anything? Does grace mean we just sit around and do nothing and watch God march by the kingdom of God and we sit in the grandstand and maybe clap and cheer? Verse 57 and 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Does this sound like hanging out on your couch all day long? Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Always be inviting and allowing and volunteering and yielding to God for whatever he may use you to do, so that you might share the glories of his grace, so that you might be a light of his kingdom in this world. Because you know, Paul says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're human. We're incapable of achieving lasting victory in this life. We're incapable of achieving lofty heights of perfection. If our flesh represents our best resource for success, we're only going to go so far. But no further. God's love, the most excellent way, is the only way of eternal excellence. And this love is given to us by the grace of God. And that, my friends, is grace at Starbucks. Thanks for listening. Please come back for more. Grace, gospel, coffee, and Starbucks, if you like. Next time, until then, I'm your friend, Greg Albrecht.